Yep, you already know what time it is, man. It's your girl POC. We locked and loaded 900 AM WRD 96.1 Word Radio each and every Friday, bringing you a jam-packed show. Today is Friday, March the 20th. I'm excited to be on your airways right now, making sure that I bring you that FUBU conversation that's for you and about you. You know everything we do is for you and about you. Make sure you click the link in the bio to take you directly where you need to be. Make sure you also subscribe to the Word newsletter. We won't spam your inbox. We just want to make sure that you are connected each and every day, every way possible to Word Radio, to make sure that you got the exclusive content and the news that we produce for you and about you. But I'm really excited about that because we're speaking about news right now with our next guest, and I'm excited to have him on, Elvando Cooper, on to talk to us a little bit about what's going on in the news and why, when it comes down to environmental justice, it's not in the news, right? Talk to me a little bit. Please reintroduce yourself. You're not new to EcoWord, but I want to make sure that people know exactly who they're listening to.
Hi, yeah, my name is Elvando Cooper. I'm a senior researcher for Media Matters for America. I'm on the climate and energy desk, and it's always a pleasure to chat with you and your audience. I love coming on here.
I'm excited. I'm happy we're able to make this happen, especially during this time where people are wondering what's going on. Why are they not getting the news information that's for them? You know, why are they not receiving climate news? Why are they not receiving environmental justice news? Like, what is actually happening in the media right now? And I feel like you're the right person to have this conversation. So, Elvando, I just want to jump out there. Like, are we shocked that this is happening right now? We knew this was going to happen, right?
Well, you know, I'm pretty cynical, but I am shocked. I got to be honest, because what we found is, like, in the past that Trump has usually driven some amount of climate coverage, right? And I'm not saying it was necessarily deep or substantive, but, you know, Trump does drive media coverage to a certain extent. So I thought that Trump 2.0 coming in with the threat that he posed to climate change, the climate policy, environmental justice policy, I thought a lot more of the coverage would be focused on his administration's actions and gutting of federal agencies, repealing of regulations that protect not only the most vulnerable communities, but communities across the country. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we found that, you know, Trump only made up a small percentage, just 15% of segments, contextualize his climate rollbacks as climate policy. So I got to say, I was a little bit surprised that it wasn't, they didn't go harder on Trump and his rollbacks.
I mean, but when you have all of his billionaire friends buying up everything, right? You know what I mean? Just being honest with ourselves, right? When you have all his billionaire friends buying up everything, buying up all the networks, buying up all the social media, buying up, you know, anything that has to do with an algorithm, they have their hands on it, right? So it's not even the rollback. It's also just making sure that it's not out front either, right? Maybe there are reporters like me and you who are reporting the stories. We are getting it out every day, but it's not on the algorithm. It's not something that's going to be seen first. What do you think about that?
No, I agree with you 100%. I mean, our big finding, one of our big takeaways was the media landscape entering 2026 is pretty dire. I mean, you know, the study looks at the broadcast networks, and I know that we have a much more fractured and broader media landscape. We have a lot of independent journalists doing great work. But we look at the broadcast networks for this study in particular because they still carry a really large audience of older, motivated voters.
Yeah.
And they still do a lot of setting the agenda for the policymakers and people in power. So it's important to see how they're covering these issues. And in that context, CBS was one of the better networks as far as climate coverage. They did do substantive climate journalism. Mm-hmm. They often led the study for the last few years. And what we found this year is with the installation of Barry Weiss, and they're purchased by Paramount Skydance, what we found was already we've seen a dip in the quantity and quality of CBS's coverage.
Yeah.
And if they go into 2026, how they ended 2025, it's going to leave a big hole in the corporate broadcast media ecosystem. So to your point, we can see these kind of larger changes happening, whether it's intimidation, whether it's, a quid pro quo, whatever. We see that this is actually going to affect the climate change that we're seeing on our broadcast networks.
And I also think that this is purposely done, though, Evando. Like, I really think that, you know, because when you think about the Biden-Harris administration, they put so much money. They put their money where their mouth was. They didn't just talk a good game. They actually showed up, right, when it came down to environmental justice, climate change, or just climate action in general, right?
Yes.
And then we have this administration who is trying to drill, baby, drill, making sure they're doing nothing but fracking, making sure they're doing everything but, you know, what we were trying to do as far as reducing the footprint, the carbon footprint that we're leaving here on this earth, right, between us and Mother Nature. So when it comes down to what's happening right now, we can look at what's going on with just the EPA in general. We can look at what's going on, like I said already, what's going on behind closed doors with them buying up everything as far as just the media, right? So when it comes down to just, you know, what you all are doing over at Media Matters, how are you combating all of this, right? Because your job is to make sure that when it comes down to climate news, you are putting out the information that people can digest. So how are you all, like, combating all of this right now?
You know, we do the best we can. I think what we do is we feel like, A, it's important to document what's happening, right? You have to create a record of what people are saying, what networks like Fox are saying, what other cable networks are saying, what broadcast networks are saying, what the online media space. Somebody has to document all of that so we can at least have a baseline of what the conversations are and how they're shifting and how these narratives are being spread, right?
That's real.
And then on top of that, we do want to make sure that our information is usable and gets to groups and organizations that can take more direct action, that can do direct pressure campaigns, that can talk to people behind the scenes. You know, a lot of this is ensuring that information gets into the right hands. And look, you know, there were folks at the networks that were trying to do a good job, that were trying to do strong climate coverage. And, you know, some of those folks have left the networks because they discussed how hard it was to get their stories on air. Some folks, Barry Weiss, after she became editor, they basically laid off their entire climate staff.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a matter of documenting and trying to get the information to the right people to create pressure. But yeah, we try to support the dissemination of our knowledge and the usage of it as much as we can. So we're trying to fight the good fight alongside a lot of other good folks and organizations.
And one thing that, you know, we have discussed before previously when you've been on Eco Word was about debunking misinformation, right? And now we have this this thing called artificial intelligence, where it's like people are taking deep dives into it. I mean, like, it's literally a button that says take a deeper dive into this information, right, on the AI bots. So, you know, Evando, I wanted to ask you, you know, with people fighting to hold on to their position as climate journalists or environmental journalists, or just, you know, people who want to make sure that this conversation continues to thrive as it should be, how do we, in your opinion, you know, as a journalist yourself, how do we even compete, or if there is a competition between this AI, you know, this artificial intelligent box that's happening where people are just like trying to debunk the information we are putting out as journalists, because they're going into these deep dives with these AI bots and they're thinking that what is coming up out of the artificial intelligence is what it is. Like, that's just what it is, you know, not necessarily saying, okay, this is the information, let me go do my research. This is just like whatever AI is telling me, that's what it is.
Well, you know, this is actually an area where I'm encouraged, right? And I'll tell you why. I think the tech companies made a crucial mistake in two avenues. One, they went too far with the AI. They're embedding it in everything, and people can see kind of across the board how it's making our lives worse. It's decreasing the quality of whether it's journalism, writing, movies, media. People are becoming more aware of how AI can actively inhibit and harm our experiences to the point you're making, whether it's through misinformation or just through slop, which I think is a new catch-all word for it. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, in real life, there are material consequences to this AI boom in the form of data centers, which I think is a huge story that's not, that's being undercovered. They're siting these data centers in the most vulnerable communities. They're polluting the land and water and the air around these communities. And local communities are fighting back. Increasingly across the board, we're seeing communities, saying, look, fighting back to stop it from being cited there. So I think between the kind of public-facing misinformation, poor media slop that's being put out there on the internet, and materially citing these structures that are harming people's air, land, and water, I think we're seeing one of the first concerted pushbacks to big tech that I've seen in a long time. And it's just not a bigger media story, unfortunately.
And I wish it was, honestly. I also wish that, and I'm seeing it happen a little bit more, and I would love to get your opinion about it, but water, right? Water right now in 2026 is a commodity. It's like oil. It's like oil right now. Like, water is oil, like the new oil, right? Water is the new electricity, right? And at first, everyone was like, you can never have too much of it. It can never go anywhere. You know, water will always be at our dispense. Like, it's always going to be here. But right now, with technology, data centers, the advancement of everything we're trying to push right now, we need water as much as possible, not just for human consumption, but also to be able to keep the grid going, if that makes sense. I would love to get your opinion on it right now. And I talk about this a lot, and it's shocking to some people. Like, what do you mean? I'm like, in order for this artificial intelligence thing to even run, we have to have water. And we're splitting water between artificial intelligence and human consumption.
Right, and that shouldn't even be a conversation worth having, right? I mean, clearly, right. And I think a lot of animating philosophy, especially among the tech folks, is like they don't view these things as finite resources, or they think there'll be a technological solution to solving a problem. And, you know, I'm not convinced. And I think, and also there's this kind of disregard for people that are in lower socioeconomic positions.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at what happened in Memphis. You look at what happened in Louisiana, parts of the Midwest.
Indiana.
They're not putting these things, Indiana. Mm-hmm. They're not putting these things in affluent neighborhoods. They're putting them in poor rural or poor urban.
Well, it really depends where you are, because the state of Virginia is selling out. Like, if I was living in Virginia, really? I wouldn't even know what to do right now. The state of Virginia pretty much has the most data centers that is in the United States right now. And every other day, I feel like they're building another one. Please look into that, Evando. Like, the state of Virginia has really sold out their people. I don't know if that's because they're a Commonwealth state or what, but I know that the state of Virginia has really just did a big one on their residents.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely the data center is something definitely that my team is tracking. But I'll say it gets back to your larger point, where you have this merger of power and money and government. And that's why you need an honest, accountable media to actually tell the story so that people can be aware of what's going on in their communities and organize a fight back. And when you don't have that reporting, you have areas where the power merges and it just makes decisions that are that harm people. And there's no accountability, no pushback, no transparency around it. And that's why we push so hard on media accountability.
Mm-hmm. And for those who are just tapping in again, you're listening to Media Matters Climate and Energy Senior Researcher Evando Cooper. And we're just talking about what's going on right now in the media, right? When we talk about mainstream media, what's happening, why has reporting been reduced? Why has there been a gap in, you know, journalists who are covering climate change or who's covering climate action or just environmental justice in general? Why has there been a gap? Where has been so many journalists let go who is covering this beat? What does that really matter for us right now? And I wanted to ask you, Evando, you know, and I'm not sure if you can answer this question, but right now we're in a war, right? And I feel like wars also make an impact onto climate change and environmental justice risks that we go through on a daily basis. And I wanted to just ask you, because you do this research on a, you know, this is what your job is, you know, as far as your research, you're a researcher. So I just wanted to ask you, you know, do you feel like this particular war right now is actually going to harm us in a way in which how we're already feeling the climate changes right now here in the United States? You know, I feel like the effect from our winter came from Greenland.
I mean, it already has. I mean, what is not being said, you know, and this is anecdotally because, you know, it's, well, which from my observation of the media coverage of this war, this is a fossil fuel war.
Yes.
A brand new fossil fuel war. And it's, the war is being waged because of our dependence on the fossil fuel economy. And so this, you know, this incessant talk about gas prices and oil prices, you know, yeah, it's going to hurt working people. It's going to hurt people that have to commute to work every day. It's going to hurt people, truckers, and it's going to hurt the working class. And on top of that, you know, instead of the media and our political class understanding that these kinds of wars are only waged because of our dependence on fossil fuels and transitioning away from that, it looks like we're moving into a world where we're doubling down on extraction and burning of fossil fuels. And of course, it's going to have harmful effects. Right now, we're seeing record-breaking heat waves. We're seeing weird winter weather. We're seeing people with lung disease and air pollution. And we talk about water pollution. You know, these wars of extraction, these wars are hurting people now and are going to continue hurting people until we decide as a society that we need to transition away from this harmful economy.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for breaking that down. And I agree with you on that. Also, just thinking about, you know, them dropping nuclear bombs, right? Just
dear Lord.
You know, them dropping nuclear bombs and just it going into the air. And where does it actually go? What happens, you know, as it's going into the air? And also, like, the reach, you know, I'm not necessarily sure. I'm not, you know, I'm not a researcher like you, but I don't know how long the reach is, you know, like, does it affect us? Does it affect the people who are down there, boots on the ground, actually within the war, you know, and then they come back to the United States once they are finished? And like, does that affect them long term and whatnot? So it's just a lot going on right now. And I'm so grateful that we're able to have this conversation. And before we wrap up, we have about like 2 minutes left. And I want to ask you this, right? When it comes down to trust right now, right? I know that a lot of people have speculations because there's so much information out there right now, and they don't know what to trust or what to believe or what to think. So I wanted to just ask you, you know, with Media Matters and EcoWord, with all the work that we're trying to do, you know, how can we make sure that we are keeping the trust with our listeners, supporters, and readers?
Of course, that's a great question. And I always, it leads me to, because I always want to end on a positive note. I always want to shout out all the great independent, black-owned, brown-owned networks and media outlets like yours that are bringing the truth to the people, that mm-hmm. have built trust with their audiences, that are talking about issues that they don't want to hear talked about anywhere else. Because that's the biggest thing. It's not like people hear so much about these issues that they don't know. They're not hearing enough about climate change, climate mm-hmm. justice. They're not hearing enough about the fossil fuel economy. And I think part of what my push is that I want networks and outlets that people actually trust, that people in vulnerable communities trust, to begin discussing these issues more. And I think that's a key way of not only building trust, but building awareness, because we're going to continue to monitor what cable does and what broadcast news does and, you know, big people on social media. But there are already news outlets that already have built that trust with their readers, listeners, and viewers. And we want to help them do more. To bring these issues about climate and environmental justice to their audiences, to empower them as well.
Yeah. And my last question I want to ask you, I appreciate that for sure. And we support you. I support Media Matters just like you support EcoWord. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Yes.
And I wanted to ask you this question as we end today's segment. You know, when it comes down to, you know, our listeners, our readers, our supporters who are actually doing the work themselves, actually doing, you know, after they listen to us or after they read your story, they're actually going out and doing the research and whatnot. But when it comes down to the fact that this is a gap, right? One of the reasons why I wanted to have you on the show today is because there is a gap and there is a reduction in news coverage and people talking about these topics. How can we keep them informed, right? Even if we are being pushed to the back burner or the algorithms, or how can we keep them informed even though like our conversations are not necessarily what mainstream media would consider a hot topic or a trending topic or breaking news or whatever it may be? Like, how can we make sure that we are keeping them informed at the same time?
That's a good question. I mean, you're fighting a giant corporate ecosystem that's not doing that. And I think what you're seeing, though, and to my what I'm encouraged about, to go back to my point about independent creators, I think that you are seeing that gap being increasingly filled by independent creators. You have climate journalists on Substack, I'm on YouTube now. You have radio shows like yours. Other people are doing a great job of filling those gaps. And I think at some point we're going to need some institutional support to actually ensure that all of these people doing this great work can reach a wider audience. Mm-hmm. But I do think, to the bigger point, the broadcast networks are behind where their actual viewers are, where their audience is, because people want to know about climate change. People want to know about climate solutions. People are concerned about these issues in increasing numbers across the ideological spectrum. And if they're not hearing about it from the broadcast networks, from the cable networks, they are going to find places where they can learn that information. So I think it's in everybody's interest to begin telling these stories in a way that the audiences want to hear about.
Yeah. I just hope people don't get distracted. You know, I hope people I hope people don't lose their way, because, you know, we did have a really good 4 years, right? We did have, between the Biden and Harris administration, we had a really good 4 years as far as pushing forward and pushing that agenda. We actually moved the needle some. We moved the, you know, we moved it. We were not necessarily at the finish line, but we started to turn the corner on that lap. You know what I mean? And that made people like me and you feel good, because there were legislation being passed, there were policies being passed, there was money being put into some of these grassroots organizations, boots on the ground organizations. So, you know, to go from that high, you know, that anticipation of like, okay, we're finally getting somewhere, to now being pushed to the back burner once again, that is where the burnout comes. And I just want to make sure that people don't stop fighting for this. I want to make sure people understand that there's still leaders and champions like me and you who want things like this to succeed, as far as climate action and environmental justice, as far as making sure that the injustice is also being called out at the same time. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And I 100% agree with you. And yeah, I'm encouraged that I think people are getting involved locally. I think one of the worst things Trump could have did was come in so hot and heavy. Because again, what people understand,
I think the worst thing he did was giving state government so much power. Because now we're seeing it on a state level, right? Because at first we were fighting for it on a federal level. We got it on a federal level. But now we see the shifts and the changes. And I live in a purple state right now in Pennsylvania. Yep. And I see it firsthand where the shifts are changing rapidly, you know, when it comes down to issues we've been fighting for so long. And now that they have someone on a federal level who kind of sees what they see, they're like, I can push back. And that's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, my state's fighting back. I mean, yeah, and that's the thing. So, yeah, it was a huge mistake, and I think people are aware, people are ready to fight, and that's what I'm encouraged by. Yeah. And I just, again, I want a media ecosystem that supports that awareness and that activism, and we're going to just keep fighting.
I agree. Vondo, please let the people know how they can find you, stay locked to Media Matters, how they can read some of your research, how they can read some of your stories, all that good stuff. And again, I appreciate you always for making this connection here on EcoWord. I look forward to having you back so we can continue and further this conversation, because I feel like, you know, as we are fighting, people need to understand who's fighting for them.
Yes. I'm MediaMatters.org. You can go to our climate energy section. And just Evelando Cooper on Blue Sky. You can find me that pretty easily. And I thank the listeners for listening, tuning in, and being engaged. And y'all are the ones that are going to carry this fight and really make the difference that we need to see.
Yes. Any last words before we wrap up?
No, thanks for always having me. I love your show. I love the work you do. And yeah, I hope to be on again soon.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you. You already know what time it is, man. It's your girl, POC. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. After this quick commercial break, we actually have the Speaker of the House, PA Speaker of the House, State Representative Joanne McClinton, coming on to talk a little bit about her food giveaway that she's doing actually right now, today, March 20th, starting at 11 a.m. We want you all to be a part of that. If you are in the Southwest or West Philadelphia area, this is for you. So definitely make sure you stay locked, man. We'll be right back. It's your girl, POC.
Freedom Sounds of Jazz is still the best jazz on Friday nights with your hosts in the mix, Aquila and Jonathan Bay. On 900 AM WURD, where we pick up Black Talk Radio.
For more than 200 years, Jefferson has been transforming healthcare, higher education, and health insurance to improve lives in our communities. The Museum of the American Revolution supports WURD. March is Women's History Month. Since 1776, women have shaped, challenged, and expanded the promise of the Declaration of Independence. The museum invites guests to view the Declaration's journey presented by Griffin Catalyst, exploring the stories of women who challenged the status quo to demand the equality and freedoms promised by that document, along with the other women's stories from 1776 and beyond. Open daily in Philadelphia's Historic District. More details at amrevmuseum.org.
In honor of Women's History Month and WURD's annual Level Up competition, amplifying Black women-owned businesses, we're shining a spotlight on Black women who've leveled up. Kristen Johnson founded Papa's Custard Company in 2020 during the height of the COVID pandemic. Her family pooled their resources, culinary talents, and business acumen to create and sell premium custards with dairy and vegan options. In May 2024, Papa's Custard chef Jewel Johnson beat Bobby Flay in a baking competition on his Food Network show of the same name. You can taste the excellence. You can taste the excellence by visiting their website at papascustard.com. Founder Kristen Johnson was our 2024 Level Up Grand Prize winner. Who will be the next winner of the WURD Level Up competition? Nominate your favorite woman-owned business at wordradio.com/levelup2026. This vignette was brought to you by Comcast, Pico, and the Pennsylvania Lottery.
You're listening to Eco Word Magazine on WURD, Progressive Black Talk Media.
Yep, yep, titty, yep, yep. You already know what time it is, man. It's your girl, POC. We back live, 900 AM WRD, 96.1 Word Radio, each and every Friday, bringing you that greener, safer Philadelphia conversation. I'm excited to be on your airways this Friday, bring you a jam-packed show. It's Women's History Month, so I'm excited to have this next special guest online, always making the history, her story, every time she comes on Word Radio, but always through and through here in the state of Pennsylvania. We have the one and only, the House Speaker, State Representative Joanna Clinton on the line with us. Good morning. Welcome to Eco Word. Welcome to WRD. How you feeling?
Good morning. Happy Friday, Word family. POC, I'm so glad to talk to you before Women's History Month wraps up, because you are that girl keeping everybody, making sure we're taking care of our environment while taking care of ourselves.
Yes, yes. Thank you for the work that you're doing as well. And that's why I wanted to highlight you on this Friday morning. I already know you're out and about getting it done, because it's kicking off today at 11 a.m. You are doing your March food giveaway in partnership with State Rep Amon Brown. And I wanted to just ask you, you know, why do you feel like this initiative is important, especially right now?
Absolutely. So right now, you know, many people are filling it in the pocketbook more than we have in a long time. You know, everybody said in 2024, a lot of voting choices were made based off of the price of eggs. Well, now it's 2026, and not only has the price of eggs not gone down, gas is sky high, and average food for a family is like significantly rising all the time. So my office for the last year and a half has been doing a monthly food giveaway with State Rep Amon Brown and Caring for Friends Food Alliance.